comes to pop, not soda.
It's pop. Like this. Pop.
Welcome to Pot Not Soda. And now it's time for Brian, and... Oh, damn. Enjoy the show!
Yeah, vagrants just squatting illegally. I mean, they're not moving in. They're not furnishing the goddamn thing. They're just staying there because it's vacant.
There is furnishing. There is furnishing.
So wait, how did they get in the first place?
What furnishing do they have?
They've cut the bolt locks off the damn fence.
So where's the landlord?
That's what we've called the landlord. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, okay. So apparently Brett, does have home. No, I don't know if they're homeless. Not anymore.
They have the homeless-like symptoms to them.
You have squatters. I think they have officially evolved into squatters.
Yeah, that
it's like a Pokemon.
Right.
Yeah, they've cut the bolt locks off. So yeah, I have people that are moving in under our place. They have a nicer desk. They have a nicer computer desk than what we're recording on right now.
Don't talk about my table like that. This table has seen many a tailgate.
So what exactly is in there? I'm curious.
Well, there are some shoes. We have.
Wait, real quick. How do you know all this?
Because I've gotten in there, dude.
You've gone. So you have been a squatter.
So
you've
trespassed in their house. Is
yeah,
what you're saying.
You trespassed the homeless people's house.
All right, you got me.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, welcome to Pop Not Soda, episode 12, season 2. If you know if they can be considered homeless, please tweet us when you're listening to this episode right now. But we have a great episode on tap for you tonight. We are going to be talking about a lot of movie news, like new policy at AMC theaters. That has, I think, me and Brett very upset. Maybe not Brian.
Yep.
We're going to be talking some Sony news, like the announced MIB 21 Jump Street crossover. The new Marvel trailer that just dropped. Mm-hmm. Brian, you're going to be reviewing...
Good question. I am going to be reviewing The Night Before.
Ooh.
And this is a holiday film, so a little late, tardy to the party, if you will.
If you still have eggnog in your fridge, go and grab a glass.
Right. But I just...
to his movie review.
Yeah, I just needed a break from the...
Oscar
Yeah,
train.
Just the Oscar train. They're like getting a little too serious. And The Night Before, you know, fun R-rated comedy starring two of my... favorite actors, JGL and Seth Rogen.
I definitely thought you were going to say Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie is in the film.
He's not one of your favorite actors, though.
He's okay. He's okay. Not my fave.
What would you say? Top 100? Top 250?
He's yeah.
Papa Dot. You don't like Papa Dot?
Oh, good point.
Oh, we just upranked. I think we're about 100 now.
Yeah. You definitely reminded me.
You don't
that
like the asshole that beats up the slow guy in Million Dollar Baby?
Also reminded me that...
We might have jumped up to 75
up,
now.
Yeah.
Jay Bruchel.
Jay Bruchel, yep. There you go. Yeah.
If anyone ever has
he's
Mackie questions, just come to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's in... He's in the Marvel universe.
He's in more
so
than you would expect.
He gets a couple points there too. So I'll say top 50.
And speaking of getting a couple points, Kobe dropped 60 last night, guys.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah, it only took him like 50
shots. He
50,
shot,
shots
50 shots
to get there, but
he made 44% of them.
Yeah,
like he actually took more shots last night than he did in the game in which he scored 81 points, but he had way less free throws.
Yeah, I was lucky enough.
Like somebody was going to foul him on his retirement party.
Well, no, I thought
they started double teaming him last night, guys. Like the Utah Jazz didn't want this to happen.
Yeah, I think so. I watched, you know, a good amount of the first half, and then I was lucky enough to catch the very end of the game. I thought initially they were, you know, just letting him do his thing. He looked terrible at the start of the game. I didn't think he was going to score more than, you know, maybe 12, 15 points. But yeah, I agree. Like at the end of the game, they were playing hard because they were up all day. And, you know, when the Lakers started coming back at the end, I think they were like, well, We can't let the fucking Lakers beat us. But, you know, Kobe did his thing. Kobe did Kobe.
Yeah, without even really being able to jump in his jump shot, like, the last half of the game. Knocked it off the court.
You know, I'll say this. I'm not a Laker fan by any means. I'm actually a Clippers fan, so I sort of detest the Lakers. But I'm never a person to deny greatness or talent. I was, you know, really privileged to be able to see the game where he dropped 81 with Jalen Rose just not even existing out there. Jalen Rose should have just left his shoes on the court and sat down, and that probably would have been better defense because Kobe might have, like, tripped over him at some point. But last night, like, the final, whatever, 2.5 minutes was just vintage Kobe. It was perfect. Like, I couldn't imagine a better way for him to go out. Like, I mean, he didn't miss a shot in the last, whatever, 3 minutes. He hit every one.
Yeah,
it was two free throws.
It was crazy to see a lot of celebrity and actual, like, NBA other players react to, like, what Kobe did last night. Like, there was a video of, like, the Suns team watching the end of the Laker game in the locker room together, and just all of them acting like fans, because a lot of those players are young enough that they grew up and Kobe was the player that they idolized, or, like, the player they wanted to be like. And Damian Lillard has a picture. Like, someone tells him that Kobe had 50 points with 2 minutes left, and it's just his face. His jaw has dropped. And, I mean, like, that's from his peers. And I think it was cool that Shaq apparently told Kobe before the game to go to 50, and he goes, that motherfucker got 60. Like, and it was cool to have, like, Rick Fox was there, Devin George, like, all, like, the Ets teammates he had,
yeah,
were
Derek
there
Fisher
at the end
there.
Of the game, which I think that was cool. Dude, like, a lot of celebrities, Jay-Z, Kanye West, like, Jack Nicklaus was going crazy.
Nicholson.
Whoa.
Jack Nicholson.
Watched the Masters
Jack
last week. Jack Nicholson. You know, he could have been there. Jack Nicholson went crazy.
I heard tickets
already
were, like,
prepping for his golf game.
Yeah. I heard tickets were like $2,000 at the least.
No. The average ticket price was some ungodly, like, $500, which is the average. So, like, the nosebleeds of nosebleeds, which are usually like $40 tickets, were like $300.
Oh, and then someone spent like 50 G's on two tickets, like 25.
Yeah, for courtside tickets, you were going to pay.
Yeah.
That much.
Something stupid.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, but that wasn't the only, like, big thing that happened in the NBA last night. You had the Warriors break the 96 Bulls record, and they won 73 regular season games.
What's crazy to me is that Kobe Bryant's last game has become a bigger story than the Warriors producing the greatest record of all time. Like, I think it's gotten lost in the fold, and, you know, it's difficult because Kobe Bryant is a once in a lifetime athlete. You know, the guy played for 20 years. It's the most years a guard has ever played in the NBA. But I mean, you gotta hand it to the Warriors. They are literally the greatest team of all time, you know, statistically speaking.
And they had a week, like, I remember, what was it, like 3 months ago where they lost like two or three.
No, it was 2 weeks ago where they lost two games. They lost to the Celtics, and then they lost to
Minnesota.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, it's going down. It's not happening now. And then, yeah.
So I have a question for you guys. Do they have to win a championship to go down as the best team, like, single season team in history?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think that solidifies the record for sure, but yeah, I mean, I think they got to. I think they got to.
I would agree, because then it's an asterisk at that point, you know? Like, yeah, they won 73 games, but what does that matter if you're not bringing home the ship?
Yep.
I mean, I do think, like, that they did just win a championship like 8 months ago. So you can, if you want to, like, call it like the Tiger rollover, like how he has the Tiger Slam where he won all four majors in a row, but not in the same calendar year. But I do agree that if you really want to take that title from the 96 Bulls, you have to win a championship. And it's not going to be easy because there's a team out in San Antonio that is only like two games worse than them that never got any news coverage. Like they won 69 games. I think that's how much the Spurs won.
The Warriors had to win 70, I think 70 games to clinch the number one seed. Like that's nuts.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen such a professional sport so top heavy before. And it's not that like the other, it's not like the Eastern Conference where like they were just beating up on some really bad teams. They're like the Western Conference still produced a lot of winning teams.
Yeah. And let's tie that back to then too what we were talking about earlier, Kobe. I mean, was it like, are you that good of a player to your team? If what was their record this year?
Oh, the Lakers? I don't even think they won 20 games.
It was atrocious. It was atrocious.
But at a point, it was like they don't want to win those games.
They don't. No, I mean, it was a farewell tour to Kobe.
Lottery.
Yeah, and totally like a shooting for the lottery next year. But I mean, the whole time I'm watching it last night, I was like, okay, like this whole season has been just a dedication to one person. And I don't know, man. That's not sports to me. It was frustrating to watch, and I think he's such a selfish person that I don't know. It wasn't enjoyable for me to watch. On and off the court, I do not like Kobe Bryant. So it was just something where, like Brian saying it earlier, you can't deny the skill. You can't deny the talent. The guy is quite possibly one of the top three best people that have ever played the game. But he's such an asshole on and off the court that I couldn't stand watching it last night. Well, Stephen Curry, though, loved it.
Right. But, I mean, people say that about Michael Jordan, too.
Yeah.
Do you view Michael Jordan in that same light?
I think, for me personally, I don't think I have much of an edge to say it. I don't want to sound like I'm copping out on this, but I didn't watch basketball much growing up. So I don't really know how Jordan was perceived. I remember when he went nuts and played baseball for
a teammate
season.
Out in practice.
See, I don't remember that.
Slapped Steve Kerr in practice. That's one of Steve Kerr's favorite stories.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the coach of the Warriors, right?
Sure is.
Yeah. So fucking crazy.
Yeah. Think about that. Steve Kerr, as a coach and a player in two seasons, has won 145 games.
Yeah. And how are the Wizards doing?
Second all time.
Well, no. Jordan owns the Bobcats, and they are they're the sixth seed in the playoffs this year.
Oh, okay.
The Bobcats made the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Or it's the no, it's the Hornets now, right?
But yeah, getting back.
Oh, yeah,
it's the Hornets.
Right.
It's the Charlotte Hornets. Yeah,
the Hornets
they.
Oh, that's right. But Anthony Davis is
on the Pelicans.
Though. Yeah.
Anthony Davis is on the Pelicans, which is New Orleans. So it used to be the New Orleans Hornets because they moved, and then Charlotte got an expansion team, which was the Bobcats. But then
Charlotte took their name back as
the Hornets, and then New Orleans changed their name to the Pelicans.
And that's your 60 seconds of geographical NBA news this week.
Yeah.
I hope you're taking notes. There will be a quiz.
But the last thing I want to ask you guys then, would you rather bet on Golden State's win the NBA Finals or the field?
Golden State.
I'd take Golden State too.
I would take the field.
Nice. We'll put one down right now.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here's an imaginary bet of imaginary money that I don't have.
I think that's a fair bet, though. 2-1 on Dan right here.
Yeah.
What do we put? $10 down?
So, wait. If it's 2-1, I bet $10. You each get 5. But if I win, you each pay me 10.
How about... Wait, no. Like,
Vegas odds? Can I get Vegas odds?
Yeah. How about we do 20... We'll set it up here.
This might not be the most enticing.
Yeah. Also, so we don't get in legal trouble.
That's true.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Vegas, stop listening.
Ask us about this bet because we will officially lock it down of Monday on the release. So
we will definitely keep you updated. But yeah, we don't want anyone to judge us for, you know, doing something too early, like making a bet before the playoffs actually start. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, guys, is so Obama, you know, people don't really like him for lots of reasons. But this reason that I heard this week is probably the most outlandish thing I've heard in a while, is that it came out that he gets to watch certain shows like Game of Thrones early because he's the president and he has a schedule in which he can't be home at night every Sunday. So HBO will send him over like, hey, here's the season. You know, like they did that last month. Like once they finished production, they sent him like season DVDs. And people were very upset by that.
Do you think he knows what happens this season?
Oh, yeah. I think he definitely knows what happened about Jon Snow.
Already.
So did they just send him the premiere or they sent him like the whole catalog?
From what I read, it was like the whole catalog of the season. Or what's completed so far. Because some episodes, technically, Brett owes everyone a drink.
That's I think that's 2 weeks in a
that's
row.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
Two in a row.
Bottom shelf. Remember, he's planning a wedding. Bottom shelf. But yeah, so I heard it was all the episodes that they have completed through post-production, they sent over to him.
Hmm, interesting. Well, I think if you're the president of the United States of America, I mean, if we're talking about something as stupid as being able to watch a show early, like, yeah, of course. He runs the country. He is the HNIC of the greatest country in the world. Look it up, kids. And if he wants to watch Game of Thrones early, if he wants to watch Vanderpump Rules early, then yeah, give the guy a break.
Wait. We're not talking about Vanderpump Rules here. Like, that's a totally different level. We're only going Game of Thrones, right?
What is Vanderpump Rules?
It's a reality show.
Housewives-ish, right?
About someone named Vanderpump.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. You guys definitely look like you don't know what you're talking about right now.
Liars. Oh, hold on. Let me pause this episode that's streaming on my phone right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Crack research.
Sorry, what are we talking about, guys?
So, okay. Question I want to propose to you guys is, as the president, what is one thing that you would want to see early or see that has never been released?
What hasn't been released?
How about you?
That's
Dan?
An interesting
like,
proposal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
17-year-olds?
Again about this legal trouble. Oh my god.
What state are we in?
You're lucky that we're not in like 300 yards of a school right now. So I'll definitely tell you what I would want to see. I would definitely want to see parts 1 and 2 of Infinity War before anybody else.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. How about you, Brian?
Cool. What would I want to see? Gosh. That's a tough one. So many things. I think it would be, you know, like there's just too many superhero movies out right now and too many more coming out. So like I'll pass on those, you know? So maybe actually speaking of Obama, I would love to see some footage of Obama in college, just straight blowing trees.
There you go. Okay.
Kay and Peele did a really hilarious sketch of young Obama that if you haven't seen, I would definitely recommend to find that on YouTube.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Cause you know, I don't think Obama has ever outright denied that.
There's no way he didn't.
Right. I mean, he grew up in Hawaii. Like, let's get real. So yeah, like some vintage Obama footage of, you know, him.
Obama and ganja.
Right? His college swag Obama. Yeah, that would be my choice.
I think for me, I'd like to see, now that I'm thinking about it, I would like to see the new food from every restaurant's menu before it comes out.
Oh, so you went like every like 5-star restaurant, you want them to come cater before they release their menu.
Yeah, just so I could taste test it.
Or do you mean like the quesalupa? You want to try that shit first?
We're covering the
he
whole
said
spectrum.
Every
here.
Restaurant.
Oh, yeah. You did say every restaurant.
So from, every yeah, restaurant. Every restaurant in the United States. Wow. That's pretty gluttonous, but I approve.
Yeah, they don't have to watch me. They're not gonna watch me eat it, just in case it looks like.
Yeah, and if I know Brett, he'd probably take 2 bites of every menu and be like, I'm done, and I don't eat leftovers.
Yeah.
And then, so, if you invite Brian and I over to the White House, we'd be super down.
Boom. We got to figure it out.
Yeah.
We can have some of Obama's weed and put on Infinity War before it comes out.
There we are.
And just have a presidential night.
Who gets the West Wing? That's the big question.
I don't want the West Wing.
Rochambeau?
Yeah, we'd have to Rochambeau
okay.
for that.
Well, why don't we do that, and we're going to start planning our White House takeover. Oh, that sounded really bad. I'm at our White CIA, House sleepover. White House sleepover. Oh, now I'm on a list for life.
Yeah. Make sure to invite the 17-year-old.
But we will be back after break. We've got Brian's movie review as he is tackling The Night Before. And we will get into all of the new movie news, including the trailer for Doctor Strange and some stuff that has come out at CinemaCon, which I had never heard of before.
Yeah. That's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Like some groundbreaking stuff this year.
Yeah. So it should be an awesome time. So stay with us and we will see you after the break.
Woo.
What's up, everybody? It's Dan from Pop Not Soda here to tell you that if you miss us during the week, if our Monday episodes just can't get you through, that you should be checking our site and our iTunes page every Wednesday and every Friday for our mini episodes. Right now, we're doing two, which is Brian's What I'm Watching, where he talks about other different series events that he's been to, like plays or musicals or movies that he, you watched The Book of Mormon. It happened. Fuck me.
No, no, that was, oh, that would have been...
Just, I know, and I couldn't come back from it. Damn it! Son of a bitch. Hey guys, I'm back. Again, what I wanted to tell you about was our mini episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Brian's What I'm Watching and Dan's Dirt Deb. Brian will cover the series that he's binge watching on Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon Prime, and what you should be watching during the week. My dirt not a bit. Brian! I can't work under these conditions. I can't do it. This is like the fourth time I'm trying to do this promo.
You ruined the third time a charm sequence. We've been running strong with
this
that.
I can't. I quit.
Stay tuned for Dan's Dirt Dab that releases every Friday and Brian's weekly What I'm Watching every Wednesday.
Just shut up, Dan. Hey, hey, y'all. We are not heading to the discotheque, although I'm pretty loose after getting down to that. That fine tune means it's once again time for Brian's Homeless Movie Reviews. This week, sponsored by the vacant lot under Brett's bedroom.
Hate you.
And this week I'm going to be reviewing E.T. Oh, no, wait, just kidding. I'm going to be reviewing The Night Before, a film that came out during the holidays. A little late with this one, but you know how I like my R-rated comedies, so I definitely had to take a peek at this one. So the film does take place around Christmas. Essentially, the story is that JGL, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, for those that are not in the know, his parents die on Christmas Eve, and his two very close friends, Seth Rogen and Anthony Mackie, befriend him. You know, they don't want him to spend Christmas alone, so they basically start this tradition of every Christmas Eve just going out, partying, and having a great time. The movie kind of fast forwards to them in their adulthood. Seth Rogen getting married, about to have a kid. Anthony Mackie is an NFL star, and JGL is just like a shitty waiter with nothing really going on in his life. And on this fateful evening, they end up finding tickets to like this, just like the sickest party of all time that they previously tried to get into, could never find it. Very, very secret, very exclusive, if you will.
Is it Project X-mas?
Whoa. It's not, but great fucking addition.
I'm walking out.
I I now don't even want to talk about the rest of the movie because I'm upset that they didn't throw that in there. So, yeah, I mean, you just your pretty traditional stoner comedy. Michael Shannon is also in it. He plays a pretty interesting character.
Doomsday?
He does not play Doomsday or Zod with that stupid chin pube thing he had going on. But he plays a drug dealer, and he's a very interesting character. I'll just put it at that. But yeah, you know, typical Seth Rogen type movie. Seth Rogen actually is, I think this might be one of his funniest roles. His story arc basically is that his wife gives him a box full of drugs for Christmas because he's been doing really well at this whole future parenting thing. He has been, you know, reading all the books, going to all the Lamaze classes, what have you. So as a sign of her appreciation, his wife gives him this box full of drugs, which he ends up consuming over the night. And he just does a really great job of, you know, like shrooming out, just being jacked up on coke. You know, they obviously blow some trees in the movie. He takes some Molly at one point. And he's, man, his performance is just great because you can tell he has gone through these trips and he translates that on screen just to a T. So if you have ever gone down those roads, you'll definitely appreciate his performance on screen.
Are you saying he went method?
Oh. Wow. We Brett's just swinging for the fences tonight.
I mean, you should have gone. You're saying that Meth Rogen went method, but I see where you didn't want to go there.
Like method acting, like with meth the drug.
Yeah, but you could have also, if you're gonna do that pun.
Back to the movie review, Brian.
Just let me know when you guys are done. No meth in the movie. So the movie spans across, the night of Christmas. There's an ex-girlfriend involved, of course. You know, it's a comedic love story. There's some Kanye West in the film. Not actually Kanye West, thank God, but some Kanye music, which I won't ruin, but it's a pretty neat thing that they do. Also, shout out to... I don't know the name of their company. I know they're born in San Diego, though. Not the guys. They could be, but the company itself. Tipsy Elves, that's the name of the company. So the sweaters that the three guys wear in the movie are from Tipsy Elves. And, you know, always want to give a shout out to local businesses. They were also on Shark Tank. And I don't know the name of the actual dude, but... he ended up investing in the company, and it's been his most successful investment of the program because they've just, you know, blown up not only with ugly sweaters, but now they're doing like ski wear, 80s ski wear, and are really taking off. So, yeah, Tipsy Elves, you're welcome. Throw some sweaters. Very funny movie. You know, your typical R-rated Seth Rogen film, like I mentioned. Nothing that's going to knock your socks off, but definitely entertaining. I'd probably say maybe wait till next Christmas to watch it, because I saw it in April and it was kind of weird. But, you know, if you're in for a laugh and you don't got anything else good to watch, I would definitely recommend it. And... for this film, I would give it 3 out of 5 quarters. Not the funniest movie of Seth Rogen or JGL's illustrious careers, but definitely worth seeing. Again, maybe around Christmas time, get some eggnog in you, maybe some illicit drugs, although I'm not a proponent of doing that.
Problem that soda doesn't condone drug use.
They're just really fun.
Yeah.
So I did see this.
Sorry, official slogan. We don't condone drug use, but they're fun.
But they're really fun. Everything in moderation, kids. So I you know, had the luxury of watching this film in not my apartment because I don't live anywhere.
I was going to say the comfort of someone else's home.
Yes, the comfort of my girlfriend's couch. Thanks, Megan. But yeah, you know, obviously I'm a big movie buff. I think the three of us are, and we enjoy going to the cinema.
Yes, the theater. The theater.
And there was, yeah, some news about AMC specifically this week that I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, holy crap. Dan, you want to tell the story? They're limiting now, or no, they're actually condoning texts during movies. They're saying that people are, it's almost like an appendage. Your cell phone's almost an appendage. That's how they're justifying it, I think. Your cell phone's an appendage, and we cannot limit people from, you know, enjoying their appendages.
They sound
in
like
theaters, but
they sound like a shitty parent in this whole situation.
Oh, they're condoning the worst behavior ever. I don't think anybody, like, Dan, have you been in a theater before where you've seen texting?
I've never been in a theater before, no. Oh, yeah, no, of course. I think it's one of the most distracting things, especially when you go to see like an IMAX or 3D movie where you're there for the visual experience. And one, if the douche in the row in front of you doesn't turn their brightness down and decides to text, it's so distracting. I can forgive if you are having a little conversation during a movie because maybe you don't understand something. Okay, I get it. Maybe something happened. You need to like, that's fine.
Or it's just a boring fucking movie and you want to talk about something else.
Well, then I don't feel bad if it's a boring movie. But if this is a great movie and you are talking to someone that's not here right now, get the fuck up and walk out the theater and do it. I'm sorry. Like, I have no patience for it.
Well, my thought is, yeah, of course, they show you all those cute, clever, little, you know, shorts about not texting during the movie.
Like the M&M one, like with the M&Ms, and they're like, oh, your phone ruined our movie.
Right, right. Yeah, the bomb's counting down and the phone rings and now they're dead. Sorry, that was like
that's basically how that
weirdly more.
I'd actually watch that one.
But the point I'm trying to make is, yeah, of course they always tell you not to be on your phones, but they've never policed it. Like, I've never seen anybody being kicked out of a movie for texting.
Because we're not animals. We live in a society. There are rules. Well, and there are kind. There's. It's called manners. And it's respecting that you're in a space with other people who are trying to respectfully enjoy a show. So don't be an asshole on your phone.
Sure, but like, what is AMC's action? Are they just not going to show that, you know, short anymore about not being on your phones? Or are they going to make a short saying, hey, you should be on your phones texting all your friends about how good this movie and this theater is. And while you're at it, go shove some milk duds up your ass.
Yeah, I get your point in saying, like, one, they don't actually, like, do anything to stop it. But I feel like then just why is it important for you to come out and say, use them? That's what bothers me.
Well, see, that's the thing is, that's where the issue is, I think, is, like, the rule has always been unspoken. And it's almost been relied upon with human decency that if it's a darkened area that, you know, people are trying to watch one screen in front, you don't really shine a flashlight or do things that are, you know, what a cell phone.
I mean, it wasn't that bad when you had like a flip phone because like the small screen, the light from that wasn't that bad. But if you're carrying around like a goddamn like iPhone 6 Plus, which is basically a tablet, that's bright.
Yeah. The problem is though, is when a company, like what you're saying, is when a company steps in and says, hey, yeah, we don't mind. And that's the big issue where it's like, okay, well that's where you're almost you're condoning it, and we've seen the historical patterns of how humans behave when you just let them condone things, when you just condone things a little bit.
I think my equivalent is like, it's like the mom who doesn't want her kid to drink, but only at home so that we can make sure like we know what they're drinking.
That kid is getting shit-faced at home.
That kid never becomes a winner in life. Like, I'm sorry. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just like, it's not that we don't think it's a good thing, but we're like, but if you do it here, we're okay with it.
Well, if you're texting during a movie and you paid, you know, fuck, what's a movie cost these days? Like $15, close to $20 for like IMAX 3D. Yeah. I mean, if you're willing to text throughout an entire movie after paying that, I mean,
but see,
why are you even there?
That's what we're talking about. It's not about that person. It's about all the other people they're affecting.
Sure, but it, but again, like this has never been policed or enforced. So this it would happen regardless. So whether they are coming out and saying, hey, guys, don't be dicks and text during the movie, or if they don't say anything at all, like I don't think there's going to be a strong, you know, correlation between either one. Like,
I agree with you, but they did the opposite. They said, it's okay if you do. Like, if they wouldn't have said anything, like, if they stopped the PSAs of don't do it, that's fine. But the fact that they publicly said, like, no, it's okay if you text.
So that's, again, that's my question, is are they going to show promos saying, like, hey, it's okay to use your phone?
I bet, because they're trying to get the crowd that, like, isn't very serious about movies. They want everybody to be happy, and their excuse was like, you can't tell a 15-year-old to put their phone away.
Put your goddamn phone away, Susie.
But that's
you
what
dumb bitch.
Their spokesperson said today. They're like, no, it's okay, Susie. You text that guy that's in your chemistry class.
Yeah, quit Snapchatting your little boobies, Susie.
What they should do is if they're really serious about like just letting the wolves out on this, then, you know, I think what they should do is maybe test it a little bit and put like a cell phone area in the theater, like in the back corner.
Yeah, the cell phone area is called the goddamn hallway.
Well, yeah. Dan, yeah.
You know what? I think Edwards and Riedel should come out and be like, fuck cell phones. they should just go the opposite route and see if that works for them.
Well, you know, something I just thought of too is if they're now, you know, cool with people being on their phones the whole time, the potential for somebody to just record the movie on their phone. Because that was a dead giveaway prior, if someone has their phone out the entire movie. But now, if it's cool to, you know, be on your phone for 90 minutes, who's to say that you can't just sit there and record it?
Especially in your designated cell phone area.
Yeah, exactly.
In the back corner.
Best view in the house.
Best view in the house. All I know is that I will probably not be seeing Doctor Strange in an AMC theater if they're allowing cell phone use all the time.
Did they make an announcement? Nice segue, by the way. Did they make an announcement of like the go live of promoting cell phone usage?
They made an announcement yesterday that like cell phones are cool with us because we can't stop it. So why try to fight it?
Steve Strange.
It's like a fucking.
Cool
but that's like a virus. I mean, that's like the most. I don't know. That is such an irresponsible thing. To
I told
do
you,
as like
it's
a,
the
like
parent. It's the parent that's like okay with their kid drinking at home.
Yeah.
But not anywhere else. Like, they want to be the cool theater.
Hey, our machines accidentally put like 10 times more sugar in, and it's killing people. Hey, you know, it's.
I just love that that's your voice. For, like,
it's not our problem.
For, like, when you want to convey someone being dumb, it's just like your voice just gets higher.
It's very
and
excited.
You
yes.
elongate everything.
You know what it sounds like to me? It's a strip club DJ who's like auditioning to host The Price is Right.
Hey,
how much for this dresser?
Sandy here. Sandy's got the watch. Sandy,
Cinnamon's,
how much is the watch?
Cinnamon's currently showing off the new set of Titleist golf clubs. Jimmy.
Really? You could have said golf balls.
What's your bid?
Cinnamon. Or yeah, wasn't what your bid on Cinnamon's balls? You could have gone that way.
Yeah, I could have, but I mean, it was just like off the cuff.
I think that's such an irresponsible thing to do as a company to go, hey, we can't stop it, so we might as well just let it happen. I mean, it would,
you know what? The next thing to happen is police are going to be like, well, we can't stop people from texting and driving, so go ahead and text and drive. It's fine.
Good point.
Anarchy, Brian. Anarchy.
I just think that...
Like I said, I'm not going to AMC to watch Doctor Strange. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, we've been talking about this for an extended period of time, so we could just transition with that. But I just don't think it's going to be a big deal. And whatever. Who cares, right? Fuck you, AMC. You suck. Anyway, Doctor Strange...
They'll never be a corporate sponsor, by the way. we're Regal and Archlight. That's what we've signed up for
all day. And Sinopolis.
And Sinopolis.
And that gem in Hazard Center.
Oh, dirt
cheap right now. Holy crap!
Yeah.
Ultra Star.
Yeah. Yep.
Holy crap!
And Ultra Star is the pop not soda of movie theaters.
Yeah. Coffee. Give us those tickets. We sound like a plugging episode right now.
Yeah. Anyway, so Doctor Strange trailer dropped.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah. Playing Doctor Strange. What do you guys think?
I think it's gonna be awesome. It looks like Inception meets The Matrix,
and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Okay,
yeah, it definitely.
Did you like The Matrix?
The first one.
Did you like Inception?
Yeah.
Okay, put them together. Why wouldn't it not be good?
I don't know. That's like putting together like hamburger and like cake. Like I don't like that. I like them separate, but I won't put them together and enjoy
maybe
them.
Like donuts and a cheeseburger. Like you like donuts. And
you can't.
Like
I mean, that formula doesn't work for everything. You can't just put two things that you like together and then expect something to be better out of it.
Think of a different analogy because I'm really hungry now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just said cake if you and haven't seen
Brian's
this,
like about to leave this dude. Yeah,
he's salivating so hard right now. If you haven't seen like this,
he's grabbing his water.
Minute and 42 second trailer, because I'm pretty sure that's how long it is.
It'll change your life.
It just looks cool as fuck. Like, honestly, if we're going to do some drugs, it would be for this movie, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, only for this movie, Dan. Well,
no.
What I am a big fan of is Marvel getting actual actors now for these roles. You know, no offense to Robert Downey Jr. because he's like the
Chris Evans.
That's where it starts.
Yeah.
That's kind of where it starts.
He's not my first choice for Nick Fury.
We had him. We have him slated as a.
I did enjoy Paul Rudd. So like yeah. So that goes that Chris that Pratt. That's a perfect Chris Pratt again. Another great example of my
Dave
point
Bautista.
Here.
Bautista.
That was a surprising.
Are we just going to go through the entire catalog and ask what Brian feels about like every single character?
Fucking A, Dan, you're getting me off track here. All right, so veering back onto my train of thought,
Jeff Bridges?
God damn it. The dude does not abide, Dan.
Yeah, and he gives his opinion. See, you're baiting him in every time. Stop it, Dan.
So, anyway, back to my point. Because, yeah, Marvel is continuing to take over the cinematic universe, you know, with that Disney money, that D money. Mickey Mouse swag. Okay. I think that this is what they need to do in order to continue to evolve. So we already know they're going to make a bajillion movies, and there's no escaping that. So to keep me in, you know, interested in these films, this is what they have to start doing. They have to start bringing in legitimate actors that are not only going to, you know, continue this arc of the Marvel Universe, but can also show me something that a lot of these prior movies have not. So I think instead of, you know, like the campy kind of feel good, you know, PG-13 type action that they have been running with all these other movies, they can start to go in maybe a little bit darker direction, you know, a little bit more serious undertone with
kind of like what their Netflix product is.
Yeah, exactly, like with Netflix. So I just finished Daredevil. Huge fan of all the Netflix Marvel series that they've done. If you haven't seen them, definitely go check all those out, because it's really cool to see, you know, the reins taken off of the creativity. But anyway, going back, Cumberpatch, awesome actor, and I'm really excited to see not only him, but Tilda Swinton in this movie as well, who's going to play a big part. And I look forward to hopefully them continuing this trend of bringing in, you know, A-list actors to fill these roles, as opposed to maybe the more traditional just like action stars that, you know, we've seen a lot of in the past. Like, you know, Henry Cavill ain't winning no fucking Best Actor award anytime soon. So it's a cool trend to see, and I hope it continues.
Yeah, I think my favorite part about this is that Mads Mikkelsen, if you don't know who that is, he plays Le Chief in Casino Royale and Hannibal. in the very good short-lived TV series.
Also in Valhalla Rising.
Yeah.
Oh, so Valhalla Rising, if you haven't seen that movie.
Yeah.
I really enjoy everything he does because I feel like he's just... And he's supposed to be the villain that has been not... It's still not named, and I'm very excited. I like him as a villain. Like, he just portrays... Like, he's very convincing in that role, so... I do think that they casted this movie very well. I think the effects look super cool. I think it's a different take on what Marvel's put out before because it's going to get really trippy. And not like fantasy trippy like Thor is, but really just like into different universes, realities, and really kind of mess with your head. So
like dropping tabs type for you.
Yeah. Like Seth Rogen from The Night Before would lose his shit on this movie.
I think that heard it right, the creator of Doctor Strange like experimented with mescaline and all sorts of stuff.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. So he was one of the first.
Oh, he's subjects. He's definitely like the most out there character in the Marvel universe.
I'll tell you what's gonna make me see it, because what I am so sick about, and we talked about it before on the last few episodes, but these movies are becoming such an ensemble piece. I mean, and these casts are growing so much and so large. And I mean, it's like basically becoming a piece where it's like, okay, here's 10 minutes for this character. 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 You know, 20 characters later, you got a 2-hour movie, and then 30 minutes is the final climax and everybody's fighting against the bad guy or whatever. So what I think is going to be appealing about this movie is people coming away from it and going like, hey, you know, it has nothing to do with any of that other stuff, you know, it's on its own, and maybe they'll tease him into something later, but to have a movie that just maybe stands on its own, that's where I'm gonna want to see.
I think that's
it
why you like Guardians so much, because that's very much what Guardians of the Galaxy is.
Exactly,
it's its own separate story, and I think Ant-Man's very close to that. They do tie some stuff in, like references, but like that again was enclosed in its own spot. It didn't rely on characters from other movies.
No. And I mean, it's still like it was still guilty of teasing, you know, winking at you know, a few things or whatever. I even, to be honest, would not even care to see that. I just want to see Marvel do a movie where they're like, hey, we don't need to rely on what's been happening for the last 5-10 years. We are just trying to introduce a character, not trying to sway your opinion. If you like him, we might tease him in. If you don't like him, hey, you know, sorry.
I think that's definitely what you'll get with Doctor Strange. And I think the other thing I was talking about with a buddy was that I think this is the first time that we may see Benedict Cumberbatch do just a straight, like, American accent, because I think he's in Black Mass with a Boston, like, he's got, like, sort of like a Boston accent. But everything else I've seen him in, he's had some sort of European accent. And so I am interested to see how, like, what it's his voice sounded deeper than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
in the trailer.
Yeah, his voice is pretty unrecognizable in the trailer. So yeah, it should be a fun ride.
Yeah, speaking of crossing over into different universes and realities, Sony announced this week they have greenlit the project of MIB
23. Woo, baby! And MIB 23 is Men in Black meets
21 Jump Street.
And holy crap.
23 Jump Street. Well, I wonder if this was this one of like the fictitious.
No, it's like the only thing they didn't do. And that's probably because they were like, they probably came up with this idea when they were doing like the montage for the end of the last movie. And they're like, wait, we should really do this one.
This came out. The news came out a couple days ago too. And I legitimately thought it was a prank. Or I had to look up probably about 5 or 6 sites to go.
You wanted to make sure you double check your sources.
This is actually happening. Like, holy crap.
I mean, I'm a big fan of these movies because I think they're well written and I think they're smart and they have dumb comedy and it's rated R like it should be. And you can get away with a lot of stuff. And the chemistry that Channing Tatum, Ice Cube, and Jonah Hill have is amazing.
Ironically, too, it's the team that also did the Lego movie.
Yeah,
and Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs.
Those two guys are actually going to stay on as producers for
MIB. Oh, okay, so
they're not
going
to direct it?
They're not directing it. They're going to stay on as producers.
Too busy doing Star Wars or something?
Yeah.
Did
Spielberg the first Men in Black?
No.
No, 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 no.
Okay, okay.
But
Burton?
No.
No.
No, okay.
We'll get Short Round to...
Short Round.
But I'm really excited for this because I love the Men in Black franchise. If we don't talk about Men in Black 2, And I think they're, you know, reboot the franchise a little bit and make it a little fun, make it like it's supposed to be and don't take itself too seriously. And I think you can do it very well.
You didn't like Men in Black 2?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited for anything to do with the Jump Street brand. I totally agree that they did a really great job in the second one of, you know, making fun of themselves, and one of the few comedic sequels of, you know, at least the last few years that I think is just as good as the first one. I mean, just the opening scene of 22 Jump Street gets me every time. There's more arms. So I'm just curious, has there like been a plot that they've released? Nope. It's just
they're just gonna bring it together. And if you wanted to know, the man who directed Men in Black, his name is Barry Sonnenfeld, and he's
Wild Wild West.
Yes. Men in Black 2.
That does sound
Get Shorty.
Oh, okay.
Adam Family Values, For Love or Money, the Addams Family remake. Men in Black 3.
Okay.
And he's also going to be directing the first episode for the Netflix A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Ooh, I was curious.
So
to
I can't
see
tell if people think he's a good actor or a good director or not, because he gets like some projects that are like, oh, that's really enjoyable.
He's the Gerard Butler of
and
directors.
Then it's Wild Wild West. Yes. Sure. Yeah. Or I mean, Anthony Mackie would be a better compliment. Yeah, he's Gerard Butler.
Yeah. But I think what it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Okay, do you think, because what they did in the last one, I'll ask you guys this because we'll throw a little round table here. In the last one, they went back in time and they introduced Josh Brolin as
a 29-year-old Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, which was pretty hilarious. Do you think they'll go back in time or to the future where they're older?
I think the future would be cool. Like, oh. Like if they like go through a black hole or something and they pull like an Interstellar.
Okay, and what do you think, if they go to the future, who would you like to see play Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill as older actors?
Well, I think what they're going to do is just, they're going to be selected to join the Men in Black, like this new agency, and they're going to have like young characters partnered with Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum. So I don't think there's going to be time
travel.
There's
going to be a drug dealer in Men in Black. They're going to have to infiltrate the dealer, find the supplier.
Right. And they're dealing space drugs.
Could you imagine some, like, just imagine the drug scene from Men in Black 20 or MIB 23, where you have four characters tripping on, like, a space drug like they've done in the previous two movies.
Ooh, sign me up.
Yeah.
But it's for an old Jonah Hill. What's his face?
Oh, good old what's his face?
No. Who would be hilarious to play an older Jonah Hill? Let me think for a second.
An older Channing Tatum. Who could you see too?
Maybe Brad Pitt.
Oh, then yeah, I could see that.
Louis Anderson. Not for Channing Tatum. Well, actually, that would be kind of funny if Channing Tatum.
That would be
hilarious. Older Channing Tatum was Louis Anderson.
Yeah, that would be
hilarious.
But I was
saying for Jonah Hill, you could have Louis Anderson, who's doing very well on the FX comedy he's on. But
well, I couldn't. It was one of you two that brought up Miles Teller and
Michael B.
Jordan. I think that would be a great cast, the four of those guys battling some space aliens. I that would be just comedic gold.
And what if they went back in time and Anthony Mackie or Michael B. Jordan was Tommy Lee Jones instead of Will Smith? What? It would just be hilarious. It would be like this really ridiculous thing that wouldn't make any sense, but it would be funny.
I still think it would be funny if they went back in time and they didn't think they changed anything and they come back and Jonah Hill's now Anthony Anderson.
Yeah. See, it does that. Yeah, see, it does that ridiculous humor that doesn't make sense. But I think that's
yeah. When you write it,
franchise,
we shouldn't write MIB 23. Don't let us write it.
Pop Not Soda.
But
writing MIB 24.
Or maybe we should just like brain dump right now and submit our ideas, and
be credited as.
You know what? I want Christopher Walken to be the new head of the Men in Black. By the way,
ooh, is Rip Torn dead?
Yeah, he died in MMA 3. He died in 3.
Like spoiler.
The movie's been out for like 3 years.
Damn it, Dan.
Tommy Lee Jones didn't even sign up for it again.
Oh, yeah. So, well, I think that was a great episode, guys.
It was okay.
It was, yeah.
No, it was great.
Dan, would you mind, actually, I have some commercial gigs after the episode that my friends need some plugs
if
for.
If Brian leaves the room for good, I will be fine.
Deal.
I just can't look at his face. Yeah, if you notice, we tried to do like 3 times an advertisement. Didn't work out. But if you would like to hear more shitty advertisements or our episodes, you want to be on iTunes podcast or Podbean every Monday, popnotsoda.podbean. You can follow us on Twitter. Brett is at Niece's Pieces. Brian is at BOwens619. I'm at Dan_Perez_. Or you can follow our podcast account at pop_notsoda. Find us on Facebook. Again, those mini episodes every Wednesday and Friday, keep a lookout for those. And if you haven't already, please subscribe on iTunes to our podcast so you never have to think about actually going and downloading it. It'll do it automatically for you. We will be back next week with a brand new episode right before Brett leaves for Coachella.
Ooh, yeah.
Coachella.
Have you heard of this Coachella?
Coachella.
Kidchella.
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 No cella.
Yeah, he's going to this like super hipster, never heard of music festival next week. So be on the lookout for that episode because that'll be fun. But as always,
you know me and I love my hipsters.
And your neighbors downstairs.
Homeless hipsters.
But we have been Pop Not Soda. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.